I've got a word that the Lord placed on my heart to share with you today. I love homecoming. How many like homecoming? I love to be with the people of God. I love to be around the Word of God. I love to hear about the praises of the Most High God. And not to mention the food yet to come. And so, but you know what, beloved? I believe the best homecoming is yet to come. I believe the best homecoming is yet to come. And I'm really looking forward to that homecoming one day. I'm talking about heaven as the home of those who believe and trust in the Lord Jesus. Are you going to heaven? How many know you're going to heaven? Let me ask you, do you know you're going to heaven? Let me see your hand. How many know you're going to heaven? Hey, I didn't know this, but did y'all know there's somebody here this morning that God spoke to the heart about being here? As far as I know, it's the only time you've ever been here, Ashley. Is that correct? It's your first time ever coming to the church. There's a young lady here Ashley. She's sitting here in the back. I had your card, I think. Your last name again is Benson. Benton, I'm sorry. Ashley Benton. How many know Ashley? Raise your hand if you know her. All right, good. Do you know what happened last night? Does anybody know what happened in our community last night? Ashley just told me a 23-year-old young man was killed right here on Highway 11. We left the church last night about 9, it was close to 10 o'clock when I finally ended up leaving, and I know y'all left just a few minutes earlier. She said about 9:30 last night, wasn't it, Ashley? 9:45. I don't know how I missed it, but I evidently went right past it. Anyway, a young man was killed right there in front of the country store, correct? At 9:45. How many knew that? Cameron Ross. Did I get the name right? Say it again. I'm sorry. Cameron Dennis was killed last night. 23 years old. And I think he was leaving. As a matter of fact, I rode by when we went to Monticello at the Dairy Queen. I rode by when we're coming back here to meet y'all. And I saw, I think he was at Sean's house, Dot, and Buck. I saw some young men standing out there on the way back to the church. And my heart went out to him. I pray for Sean daily. And anyway, I didn't know this young man. But now he's out in eternity. What do you think about that? Life's short, isn't it? I wonder if anybody told him about Jesus. I don't know. I hope he was ready to meet God. I don't know him that I know of. I may have met him and I don't remember. But the point is this. Last night, within Rockthorne distance, somebody went out in eternity. Heaven is a real place. I'm looking forward to heaven. If there's somebody here today that you haven't made that greatest decision of all, and that is being right with God, that's the greatest decision. Homecoming, the best ever homecoming. It's heaven. I'm looking forward to going to heaven. I really am. And there's four reasons why I believe that you and I need to serve the Lord today, and we need to love the Lord today, and make a difference today. Why? I want to share with you four reasons. A lot of people ask these questions. Have you ever wondered, what's heaven going to be like? Have you ever asked that question? You ever asked that question? What's heaven going to be like? If you're going to heaven, and if we're going to spend eternity in heaven, don't you want to know what heaven's going to be like? Oh, yeah. Have you ever asked this question? Who's going to be in heaven? We're going to ask that question. What's heaven going to be like? Who's going to be in heaven? And then, hey, have you ever asked this question? What are we going to do when we get to heaven? Have you ever asked that question? I've asked that question. How about this? Are you ready? Are you prepared to go to heaven? How many believe we ought to be getting ready to go to heaven? We ought to be getting our bags packed. Oh, I know we're not taking our bags, but there are four places and four reasons that questions emerge from the book of Revelation. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation, please. Revelation chapter 21 and Revelation 22. Let me just share with you a brief word that God has placed on my heart today to share with you about the best homecoming ever. The best homecoming ever. Here are the four questions we're going to ask. Number one is, what is heaven going to be like? I may need you to help me on the PowerPoint back there, please. Some reason my clicker's not working, but anyway, praise the Lord anyway. What's heaven going to be like? Stand as we read the wonderful word of God. If you got your Bibles, Revelation chapter 21, and we're going to look at Revelation 21 and Revelation 22. Heaven, we're talking about the best homecoming ever, ever, ever. And I don't know about you, but you need to think about heaven. I've got heaven on my mind. Have you got heaven on your mind? You say, but Pastor, I can't think about heaven. You need to think about heaven. We need to prepare because heaven's a real place. And if you're not prepared today, you need to get prepared. In the book of Revelation chapter 21, we begin in reading in verse 1. The last two chapters of the book of Revelation give us exactly what we need in regards to the information about heaven. What's heaven going to be like? Who's going to be in heaven? And what are we going to do in heaven? And then, are you preparing to go to heaven? Revelation 21, verse 1, if you're there, say amen. John, exiled on the Isle of Patmos, said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. You understand that this old world is going to go up in smoke, because 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 said, it's going up in fire, and yet God has created a new heaven and a new earth. Yes, that's the future. Then notice what he said. The first heaven, the first earth were passed away. Look at verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem. Say that with me. The new Jerusalem. One more time. The new Jerusalem. You need to underline that in your Bible. You need to circle it right now. Why? That's where the saints of God are going to spend eternity, in the new Jerusalem. Well, what's the new Jerusalem? Will there be an earth during that time? You got a lot of questions about Revelation. I don't have time to go into all the questions, but don't you wonder what it's going to be like? The new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. What are we going to do in the new Jerusalem? What's going to be absent in the new Jerusalem? What's going to be on the earth when we get to glory? We sing about when we all get to heaven. We sing about heaven, how beautiful heaven must be. But do we know about heaven? Not what a preacher says or a songwriter says, but what the Bible says about heaven. Here's what we can prepare to go to heaven. If you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus and by faith have received him. Look at verse number 3. And I heard a great voice. Wait a minute, back up to verse 2 again. I've skipped over some. Verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Listen, folks, I've had the privilege of preaching a lot. Some of you here today are planning a wedding, and Lord willing, I'll be involved in that. I do not believe I've ever seen an ugly bride. Now, I've seen some ugly grooms, somebody say amen. But I don't think I've ever seen an ugly bride. Hey, look, I've seen something close to ugly. No, I'm just kidding. Not really. But the new Jerusalem's like a bride coming down from heaven. Look at this, verse number 2 again. John saw the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. That word dwells is the word tabernacle, where Jesus dwelt among men, the same word. He said, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and they and shall be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That word all means every single one. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Won't that be wonderful? No more death. And that's like the young man that was killed right there down the road, killed last night. There shall be no more death in heaven, no more undertakers in heaven. By the way, I'm not looking for an undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. Somebody say amen. I believe the Lord's coming again quickly, Lord, even so come. Then look, notice, no more death. Verse number 4, look in the middle of it. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither should there be any more pain. No more pain. Come back to that in a moment. For the former things are passed away. This is the word of the Lord. May God bless it. Hope and keep your Bibles open, because we're going to look at Revelation 22 in a moment. Father, thank you for this special homecoming. Lord, thank you for what we have experienced in the past. We are experiencing in the present, and yet we will experience the best is yet to come. I bless you, Lord, that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. I thank you, Father God, that your word is alive. It's quick and powerful. And Holy Spirit of God, I thank you for using the Mercy Mountain boys, sending them our way today, and the men and women that have served our great country. But God, we need a revival. We need a renewing. We need a refreshing. And dear Lord, today we pray, Father, you prepare us, your people, not only when we get to heaven, but before we get to heaven, you'll change us through the storms and the trials and troubles that Brother Earl talked about earlier. Dear God, that you'll give us heaven's perspective, that this is just a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. And God, I bless you now that you're a great God. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for loving me. I thank you for your precious cleansing blood. And I pray, dear God, today you'll sweep across this congregation, and that God, you'll help us, Lord, not only to rejoice in the celebration of what today represents, but we rejoice in you more so because you are a great God and you've risen from the grave, precious Jesus, and you are coming in a cloud of glory. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to keep looking up and looking in and looking out. Until that day, Lord, be glorified, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And all the God's people said amen. You may be seated. Hey, look, what's heaven going to be like? Can I give you an idea what heaven's going to be like? Listen, have you ever read Revelation chapter 21? Look at verse 16. What's heaven going to be like? Don't you want to know about the place where you're going to be spending all eternity? Revelation 21, verse 16. Notice, verse 16. And the city lieth four square. The breadth of it is large as the length of it, rather, is large as the breadth. And he that measured the city with a reed, 12,000 full loins, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. How big is this place? It's a big place, number one. It's a beautiful place, number two. First, it's a big place. Did you see how big John says the New Jerusalem is going to be? Notice on the screen. Notice on the screen. Notice on the screen again. Oh, the word of God has been fulfilled. Keep going, please, to the next slide. The New Jerusalem. And here is the picture that God gives us in his word. The New Jerusalem. This heavenly city is coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for a husband. Notice there's a new earth right here. How do I know there's going to be a new earth? I'll tell you how. I read it again this morning. The book of Ezekiel chapter 37 says that there will be a temple on this earth. Messiah's temple. Ezekiel's temple. 202 detailed verses in the book of Ezekiel, indicating that Jesus Christ will sit and rule and reign in his millennial temple. That will be on earth. And guess what? Ezekiel said it will be forever. It will be forever. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, forever. Forever. Forever means forever. That means forever. But wait a minute. I find where the New Jerusalem, there's no temple in heaven. In Jerusalem. Why? The New Jerusalem. Why? Jesus Christ is the temple. And you can read that in Revelation chapter 21, verse 22. Look at it. I saw no temple therein. Verse 22. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of God. God's word never contradicts. I said the word of God is true. And if God's word says there's going to be a temple on earth, there's going to be a temple on earth. But if God's word says there's not going to be a temple in the New Jerusalem, there's not going to be a temple in New Jerusalem. There's no contradiction. The holy city, the New Jerusalem, is coming down from heaven. And there's going to be a new earth and a new heaven and a new earth and the New Jerusalem. I've got good news. Jesus Christ is going to come and rule and reign on his throne forever and forever and forever. Right now, he's not on his throne on earth, but one glorious day he's going to be crowned as the King of Kings and as the Lord of Lords. We might as well crown him right now because he's worthy of everything. He's bought us with his own blood. He's risen from the grave. He's forgiven our sin. He's promised to be with us. He said that one day he's going to usher us up in glory where there's no more sickness and no more pain. Somebody ought to say amen. Oh yes. Praise his holy name. So what's this new Jerusalem going to be like? Do you know what John gives us the indications? This new Jerusalem, it's going to be 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. A cube shape, if you will. That is the rendering of those furlongs. In other words, watch this now. Look up here just a moment. Do you realize how big this is? You can see indication of the map right behind you of the United States. But wait a minute. It's going to be, watch this now, a cube shape. 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. Around the circumference. The circumference of heaven, that is the New Jerusalem, 8,164 miles around the New Jerusalem. 8,164 miles. Guess what the diameter is going to be? 2,600 miles of the diameter. Hey, you know how big 1,500 miles is? The average airplane, how many have ever flown an airplane? Let me see your hand. I've flown an airplane. Brother Earl said he didn't like airplanes. Somebody say amen. You'd rather have your feet on the ground. But hey, they're fixing to go to California in next year to come and go and minister. Isn't that a blessing? Let's praise the Lord for it. Amen. And amen and amen. But you know what, beloved? 1,500 miles. When you fly on an airplane, when you're climbing up to your desired altitude, you look down out of the window. Have you ever done it? And people start getting smaller. In fact, they look like ants. They get so small, they disappear totally altogether. Guess how high an airplane flies? 7 miles approximately. We're talking about 1,500 miles. That is absolutely mind-boggling. And guess what? Heaven is going to be a big place. It's big enough for you today. I said it's big enough for you today. You don't have to miss heaven. Guess how big the walls are? 216 feet in height. About 72 yards in height. The walls of jasper. Now listen, beloved. You can't, and I can't imagine how beautiful heaven's going to be. Take a look at the screen for a moment, and you'll notice the circumference and the diameter. Next slide. You'll notice, too, here, back to the other slide there. You'll notice here are the beautiful colors listed in the walls of jasper. What's heaven going to be like? I'll tell you what it's going to be like. It's going to be a big place. It's going to be a beautiful place. Oh, yes, it's going to be absolutely beautiful. By the way, do you know what the street is going to be? Notice I said street, not streets, plural. You'll find in Revelation 21, it's the street, singular, not plural. The street will be transparent glass gold. I'm talking about solid gold, like transparent glass. You can read that right there in the book of Revelation in chapter 21, where the street is pure gold. Did you hear about the man that died and went to heaven? He said to his wife, honey, I want you to give me all of my gold coin collections. He had a lot of them. They were worth a lot. And so he gathered all of his coin collections, his gold coins, and he said, honey, when I die, I want you to put these in my casket. I'm taking them with me to glory. Well, you know that that's probably far-fetched. At any rate, the story goes, the man got them to heaven and got to the pearly gates, and an angel met him at the gate and said, what in the world have you got in your hand? He said, my gold coins, they're worth a lot. The angel laughed. What? You're bringing pavement to heaven? Pavement to heaven. Nothing this whole world could afford to give would equate what our Lord left when he went left from glory. Heaven's going to be a big place. Heaven's going to be a beautiful place. I don't know about you, but it's been a privilege of mine to sit at a bedside, to stand at a bedside of a loved one. Have you done it? And held their hand. My sweet mom, a few years ago, Marie Luttrell, not long ago, others I could name that stood at their bedside, and I said this to them, Mama, I'll see you in heaven. Mama, I kissed her goodnight and said, Mama, the best is yet to come. Good night, Mama. I'll see you in the morning. How many got a loved one that's passed away? Let me see your hand that you look forward to seeing them. Homecoming, the best homecoming ever. You know that old song? I can only imagine. Can you imagine what heaven's going to be like? Can you imagine the glories of heaven? Angela, John Bassett, and so many of others, our dear, precious, sweet people, how beautiful heaven's going to be. Number two, not only what's heaven going to be like, but number two, consider with me for a moment. Listen, don't lose me, please. Number two, who is going to be in heaven? Now draw your attention to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 7. Look at Revelation 22, verse 7. Who's going to be in heaven? Number one, the children of God will be in heaven. Look at Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 7. Notice, John says, to verse 1. Verse 1 of chapter 22. John said, I saw, he showed me a pure river of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, into the midst of the street of it. On either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielding a fruit in every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of nations. Healing of nations. That word healing is the word therapeuo, where we get our word therapy. The leaves of the tree were for healing of nations. There shall be no more curse for the throne. Here it is. Look at verse number 3. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. Notice, and his servants shall serve him. And then look at verse 4. They shall see his face. His name shall be on their forehead. Oh, yes. There shall be no more night there. And no need for a candle, for the light of the sun, or the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. Go back to chapter 21, verse 7. Look at verse 21, verse 7. Notice what he said in verse 7 of chapter 21 of the book of Revelation. He that overcomes. Tell me, are you an overcomer? Are you an overcomer? He that overcomes. I know you got trouble. I know you got problems. I understand you got heartache. I understand one setback after another. Listen to me, beloved. Look up here. Listen to me, beloved. We are meant to be overcomers. And no matter what the world throws at us, I'm glad to tell you today that Jesus said in him, we can overcome, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Has conquered death and sin and hell, and he has lived a life above sin. He faced everything we'll ever face, and he's given us his Holy Spirit, and we can be conquerors in him. And the church said, are you a conqueror? Why are you defeated? Why are you depressed? Why are you down? Look up. Stop looking down and start looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. Keep reading verse 7. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God. What's the last part say? He shall be my son. How many see he shall be my son? Raise your hand. Hold up your Bible if you see it. Do you know what that word son is? Praise the Lord. Do you know what that word son is? The Holy Spirit used the word weos, not the word techna. The word son is used by John in 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and in the Gospel of John. But the Spirit of God used the word weos to indicate the priority. We are now the children of God. Who's going to be in heaven? The children of God are going to be in heaven. Tell me, are you a son? Tell me, you're a daughter? Have you been born of the Spirit of God? You say, Pastor, how can I be a son? How can I be a daughter? I'm glad you asked. Jesus said to a religious man, Nicodemus, John chapter 3, what can I do to inherit eternal life? Said Nicodemus. Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again. Say it with me. You must be born again. Say it again. One more time. There's no option. Have you been born again? Listen, Nicodemus said, but how can I be born again? Can I enter my mother's womb a second time? And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that which is born of the flesh is the flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is the Spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Hey, look, how can we be born again? Hey, if you're born one time, you're going to die twice, physically and spiritually. But if you're born two times physically and spiritually, you'll only die one time physically. Why? Because to be absent from from the body is to be present with the Lord. Why? Because for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Why? Because blessed are they that die in the Lord. From henceforth they cease their labors and their works do follow them. I'm telling you this, you've got to be born again. And if you've been born by the Spirit of God, because we're sinners by nature, choice, and birth, we're born with a sin nature. Tell me, look up here a moment. Tell me, has there ever been a time when you've been born again? I didn't ask you if you joined the church. I didn't ask you if you've been baptized. I didn't ask you if you've turned over a new leaf. I didn't ask you if you've done this or that. I've asked you, when did Jesus come in your heart? When did you repent and by faith receive the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Can you take me to the place? Can you tell me the day? You need to have assurance, amen. Do you have that absolute assurance that if you died, y'all look at me. Y'all know how many people have died and gone to heaven since we had our last homecoming? We showed it on the wall. You know, last year we had a number of groups. Y'all listen now. A number of people were escorted in heaven. Are you ready to meet God? Have you made peace with God? Is your house in order? Brother Calvin Ford, right back there on the wall, standing on the wall, his brother Eddie was in ICU a year ago, September, in and out of the hospital, Brother Calvin. And there was concern that Brother Calvin had, was his brother Eddie ready to meet God? And God miraculously and mercifully gave Brother Calvin a second chance, his brother Eddie, to be able to talk with his brother Calvin. He literally, Brother Calvin can attest, God literally raised him up off of his bed of affliction. And Brother Calvin asked his brother Eddie, have you made things right with God? God gave grace and God gave his brother time. And he has said, yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'm heaven bound. And yes, you can have peace in your heart. It was just a few weeks ago, Brother Calvin, your brother 3 weeks ago, that he was taken to glory. I'm telling you this. We had better prepare to meet God because life is uncertain, like this young man that was killed last night. Life is uncertain, but death is certain. It's appointed a man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. Tell me, are you a son of God, a daughter of God? I was at the hospital about a month ago. And matter of fact, me and Brother Josh dropped by. One of our couples, Brother Bub and Millette, had their baby boy, Benjamin Tripp. How many have seen Benjamin Tripp? We walked in the hospital. It was about close to 11 o'clock, 11:30. And they had already had the baby just minutes before we got there. We went to the counter of the nurse's station. And I said, do you have this family? They said, yes, right over here in this room. So we walked back in the room. And there was Mama Millette and Bubba. They had taken out Benjamin Tripp out of the room to do some things with it, the little precious infant baby, newborn. Then they brought the baby back in the room. I'll never forget it. Wrapped up in these blankets. And I said, who does the baby look like? Who does the baby look like? And the nurse said, like father, like son. How many know that's not good? I'm just kidding. It's good. But like mama, like son. Anyway, like father, like son. If you're saved, you're going to look like your father. Hello? You see, because we bear resemblance, are there birthmarks? Just like a birthmark of a child will be indicative and representative and will be obvious in a child of God. No, we're not perfect, hallelujah, but there ought to be some birthmarks in every child of God. Do you love sin more than you love God? Do you want to please the Lord? Do you want to live a life that brings glory to God? Hey, who's going to be in heaven? God's children are going to be in heaven. The children of God and the throne of God and the Son of God are going to be in heaven. I read that from Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 4. It is the throne of God and the Lamb of God will be in heaven. Now, I want to fast forward as I consider, change the, as I think for a moment about number 3, the third question I want to ask you today, reasons you ought to serve God with all your heart, reason you ought not to give God half your heart, reasons you ought to get your priorities right, reasons that we ought to live for God in these days because time's short and time's running out. Number 3, What are we going to do in heaven? Don't you wonder what we're going to do in heaven? I wonder what we're going to do in heaven. Can I tell you what we're going to do? Number one, we're going to enjoy a pain-free place. A pain-free place. I find that in Revelation 21, verse 4. John said, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. I like this part. See if you like this part. Neither shall there be any more pain. How many like that part? No more pain. No more heartaches. No more defibrillators, Brother Dennis. No more backaches, Sister Ann. No more problems. And those of you that have had surgery lately and are pending surgery, hey, no more pain in heaven. No more sickness. What's it going to be like in heaven? Wow. Kathy, sorry, no more colonoscopies in heaven. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to say amen. What's it going to be like in heaven? It's going to be a pain-free place. How many are experiencing pain these days? Just about all the time. It gives you something to look forward to. Not only is it a pain-free place, number two, it's a purposeful place. Purposeful, what I mean. Guess what you're going to do when you get to heaven? We're not going to sit on a couch and watch TV all day, I'll assure you, amen. You know what we're going to do? Y'all look up here. We're going to serve God. You see that? Revelation 22. Look at this, Revelation 22, verse 3. His, last part, his servants shall serve him. Hey, let me ask you a question. How many of you are serving God right now? Raise your hand. Praise the Lord. If you're not serving God, you're missing out on the best opportunity life. And Brother Vince, thank you, brother, for fixing the air condition. Speaking of serving. And the church said? But this brother was here yesterday, and Brother William, where's Brother William? Climbing up in and out of the attics. About an hour or two later, Vince finally got that one fixed right back there in the kitchen. So when you walk in there, you just recognize, thank God for that. I'm talking about serving God. Look up here just a moment. Don't worry about what you can't do. Just do what you can. Do what you can. Let's say that together. Do what you can. Say it again. Just do what you can. Don't worry about what you can't do. Do what you can. And God will honor it. And God will bless it. Amen. And amen and amen. What's heaven going to be like? A pain-free place. What's heaven going to be like? A purposeful place. What's heaven going to be like? Watch this, Brother Earl. A praiseworthy place. We better get used to praising the Lord. Why? Look it down in verse number 9 of chapter 22 of the book of Revelation. Then he said unto me, see, thou do it not. You see, John was worshiping an angel. The angel said, don't worship me. Look at verse 9. For I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. What's the next words? Worship God. Say it with me. Worship God. That's what we're going to do when we get to heaven. Worship God. Hey, listen, I don't know how it's going to sound. But you know what today, what we do? Y'all see if you'll be honest with me. I'll be honest with you. We worship our car. We worship our truck. We worship our house. We worship our children. We worship our husband. We worship our wife. We worship our land. We worship our money. We worship sports today. And we ought to be worshiping God. I know that hurts, but tell me. Is there anything in your life more important than God? Well, I don't have time to serve God. I've got my sports I got to do. I love sports too. I love my house too. I love my wife too. I love my children too. But nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing ought to come between me and my Lord. And the church said, some of us are putting our jobs before God. We're putting our jobs before God. Well, I don't have time to serve God, my job. Some may have more limited time than others, but if you put it as a priority to serve God, you'll serve God. It matters if your priorities need to get changed. Look at me. Your priorities need to get changed. You satisfied with giving God half part-time Christianity? Serve God on your job. Serve God in the marketplace. Serve God in the neighborhood. Serve God through the church. Just do it. Let's say that together. Just do it. One more time. Just do it. Just serve God. I want you to know. Now, you say, Pastor, I know you're a pastor, and you get up here all the time and talk about serving God and get red in the face and all this stuff. I do, and I don't apologize. Here's why. When you get to heaven, you'll say, thank you, Brother Pastor, for taking a stand. Thank you, Brother Pastor, for not letting me just go through life and miss out on the best that's yet to come. Thank you, dear Jesus, for preparing me for heaven. Heaven's going to be a pain-free place. Heaven's going to be a purposeful place. Heaven's going to be a praiseworthy place. I forgot. Heaven's going to be a place where we have a full plate. Look at chapter 22 and verse number 2. In the midst of the street of it, either side of the river. Chapter 22, verse 2. There was the tree of life. Do you see that? The tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit in every month, and leaves of the tree were the healing of nations. How many like to eat? Let me see your hand. Yeah, we all like to eat. I love fruit. How many like fruit? I don't know what kind of fruit that's going to be, but I'll tell you, it's going to be out of this world. I've always looked forward to watermelons that have seeds in them, amen. I know they got them now, but this is some kind of eating, brother. This is some kind of fruit. We're going to be feasting in a moment, but it's going to be a time. Watch. It's going to be a beautiful place. Heaven's going to be a big place. Heaven's going to be a place where God's children enjoy his presence. Heaven's going to be a place where the throne of God is there. By the way, I don't know if there's going to be grass in heaven, but if there's grass in heaven, I already decided, Buck's got to cut the grass. I don't know. We'll enjoy it up there, brother. I'll assure you, Brother Buck, it'll be worth it. But last but not least, are you preparing for heaven? Are you preparing for heaven? I wonder right now if you stand to your feet, are you preparing for heaven?